Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 31 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and we're going to talk about goldmaking for the next 20-ish minutes. So, as usual, we'll talk through my week, we'll talk a little bit about the game, and we'll talk about the discussion point, and this week I'm going to take you down memory lane and go through some of my favorite goldmaking methods from the past. So let's dive into it. My week went really well, yet again. I've been doing really well lately. So this week I just passed 1.5 million in total sales. Just above, 1.5 and then 7,000 gold extra or something in total sales. Which is obviously really, really nice. And then out of that, I collected mail 3 times, because that's what I do at the moment. On Wednesday, I had total sales of... On Monday, I had a total sales of 778k. And then I had about 130k on Wednesday, which is actually really bad. And much smaller than I usually have in terms of total sales. And then I had about 595k on Sunday. Which put me at 1.5 million in total sales, which is just amazing for a very, very obvious reasons. So that was really, really cool. Now, if we're just changing focus from total sales to how much gold I made in terms of profits, I managed to increase my current liquid gold by just over 900,000 gold, which is obviously a very nice weekly profit. I would say that's a lot of tokens if I wanted to. Part of this is probably that I didn't buy BOEs when I played this weekend, so 1 out of 3 days I didn't buy. And I didn't find too many BOEs to purchase, and that's the main thing I spend gold on. That being said, I did spend about 500k gold on BOEs, and I sold BOEs worth about 1 million, so that's a nice 500k profit from the BOE market alone this week. That's a pretty good place to be, I think. 500k profit, it's obviously very good in a week, and I think getting about 100% relative profit margin this week in terms of how much gold I spent versus how much I made, I think it's a bit closer to where I want to be. I maybe want to spend a little bit more gold, maybe something like 60-40, or maybe I'd spend 600k out of 1 million in sales. But I'm not going to sweat that. You can only buy the deals you actually find. I'm not going to buy stuff just to buy stuff. They need to look like something I can make a profit off of, obviously. But that's pretty cool. Overall, I now have a net loss of about 1.4 million gold in the BOE market since I started the Sarlor BOEs a couple of months ago. So if the current trends hold, then I should be in a profit within a couple of weeks. So that's really cool. And I'm just looking forward to that. So that's pretty good from the BOE market. Obviously overall a really, really, really good week in terms of gold making. My strategy is definitely hitting the point where it's paying off. BOEs are profitable on a weekly basis, so very soon we'll be total gold profitable as well. My other markets are still firing quite well as well. I mean, I only had 500k profit from BOEs, which means that the last 400k is going to be from my other markets, which means Battle Pets. I also sold a lot of Medallions of the Legion this week. They're probably selling at a loss, but I can start buying those again at the current price point, and it's moving pretty quickly, I'd say. And I did buy a couple of Battle Pets this week as well, which is cool. Definitely need to refocus my attention a little bit on that market. I've been neglecting it. I usually do very infrequent shopping scans, but I've been doing a little bit too infrequent in terms of cleaning out the pet journal and posting the pets I have duplicates of, which is more important matter to just post the stuff I have on the auction house. It's just like gold making 101. Get your stuff on the auction house, because otherwise you're never gonna sell it. So what I didn't prioritize too much this week is leveling my hunter, which I'm working on for the 30 days to a token challenge that I wrote about on Sunday. If you haven't checked that out yet, you should read. I lay out the the basic idea for the 30 days to a token challenge. I didn't even increase it by a level. It's still 113. I did play it both on Monday and Wednesday, so I think it's very close to leveling, or maybe I did hit 114. Either way, I probably need to prioritize it a bit more, but I'm in sort of a mental catch-22 situation because I really, really want to hit the point where I've actually made gold from BOE flipping. So I can't decide. So at the moment, I'm just like prioritizing them sort of evenly, which means I'm prioritizing BOE shopping mostly. But I think I should probably prioritize the challenge leveling a little bit more. We'll see. I've actually enjoyed leveling on the Alliance side. Terror Guard sound is definitely a very nice zone, so that's something. But we'll see. You can join me on stream, of course, and you'll get to see me do both of these things. So let's talk a little bit about the game, because we've finished, we talked through my week now. So we're now 1 week out from the launch of Crucible of Storms, the new 2 boss raid. So if you're already into like alchemy, enchanting, jewel crafting, definitely make sure you have a decent amount of inventory stocked up, and be ready to post them, because the demand will definitely increase. You'll be selling more. You may not be selling them for too much more than you are right now, but you'll definitely be selling way more of these items. So that's like the main thing to focus on. Now, something that has happened with the game that I haven't talked about is like the shenanigans with the Kraken's Eyes prices, as Blizzard apparently increased the drop rate quite significantly from some of the prospecting, which meant that obviously the price for Kraken's Eyes absolutely cratered, and that's sort of driven down the value of all the gems, and thus like all the ores as well, which is it is what it is. You can't really do anything. I haven't found the updated drop rates yet. I haven't even looked much either, so the spreadsheet will still be underestimating the profit you can make from prospecting, and I'll definitely need to check, because the only thing I remember reading is that it's only from Monolith ore, which would be really weird. And I have to say that I really dislike Blizzard making like these kinds of undocumented changes to stuff like drop rates. It's just going to screw over some people that are heavily invested in that market and not other markets. And you could just give us warning. And then, of course, some people would still get screwed. You can't really get around the fact that would happen if they do something that is going to decrease the value of an item. But at least like you could have some time to prepare, and you wouldn't feel like, and you wouldn't have to trawl through random posts on Reddit to even figure out what the new drop rate is, which is what you have to do. But nothing to do about that. Now, as far as I know, one other thing to mention about the Crucible of Storms is, as far as I know, there aren't any new BOEs. But the items that do drop from the bosses will have a slightly higher base item level than the ones that are dropping from Battle of the Sarlor, so that'll probably drive down the value of BOEs a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a massive change, but it will affect it a little bit. So, we've finished with the game as well. So let's go to this week's little discussion point, and we're going to take a trip down memory lane today. So we're going to I'm going to tell you a lot about some of my favorite gold-making markets through the ages of World of Warcraft. Because as you probably know, I've been playing I've been playing World of Warcraft since sometime during vanilla. So that's a long time. That's like more than 10 years now, which is pretty fun. I wonder when my 10-year anniversary was. It's been a while since. But I've been doing gold making. I learned my first gold making method in Burning Legion, and I've been doing a lot of gold making since Wrath of the Lich King. And I've been gradually doing more and more gold making, and it really took off in Mists of Pandaria. And then I didn't play too much during Warlords of Draenor, but Legion was like pure gold making, and that's when I started the blog as well. And from that point on, you probably know a lot about my history because I've been posting a lot about it. But we're going to talk through some of the methods that I've enjoyed the most that I've been doing in the past. Obviously, this isn't going to teach you anything, but it will maybe give you some inspiration for some methods and niches you can look into when Blizzard releases new stuff in the future, because there will be new markets in the future. That's something we can be sure of. And of course, some of this might even be applicable to World of Warcraft Classic if you want to get rich there when that launches this summer. So, on the subject of Classic, let's dive into the first method that I'm going to talk about. And this is the first gold making method that I ever learned, which is it's actually a classic shuffle where you turn a Mage Weave cloth into Vision Dust and Greater Nether Essences. I learned this from one of my friends, and this was back before there even were gold bloggers. There probably was gold making, but it was not a particularly open information available. But I learned it from a friend, and I really like this shuffle. You would just buy Mage Weave cloth, you craft white bandit masks, and then you disenchant them. And you'd get a lot of Vision Dust, which is one of the reasons why I liked it. Each of the bandit masks just took like one bolt of Mage Weave, and you would get like on average, I think 3.5 Vision Dust per disenchant, which is quite a lot. So it meant that you could really quickly build up like a pretty large stockpile of Vision Dust that you could sell, and it would sell really well because people needed Vision Dust to level their professions, which was a much harder thing back then than it is now. So it was a little bit time-consuming, as all shuffles are, but of course, it was my first enchanting shuffle. It was really special. It was the first time I made gold in the game, so that's gonna obviously have, like, super hardcore nostalgia-tinted goggles for me looking back at that. It was really fun. It did take a lot of Mage Weave cloth, and it was also one of the other things that I really liked about it was the fact that you... it was extremely simple to calculate the value of the cloth. Like, you could just do, I think the math was something like 5 Mage Weave cloth on average per Vision Dust or something like that. So if the Vision Dust was 2 gold, then you could buy Mage Weave cloth up to 20 silver, and you'd be making about 100% profit margin. So that was pretty... very nice. This was before TSM, so it was actually important to have some quick math that you could do easily. All right, so let's look at the next one. So the next one is the first like more involved shuffle, the Wrath of the Lich King jewel crafting shuffle. So this was the first time that I started combining professions. So the idea prospect the ore, and then you would cut the rare gems and sell those. And back in Wrath of the Lich King, there were a lot of sockets and a lot of different rare gems, and they would sell really, really well overall. Like, that was... I really miss the old jewel crafting system. I think that was much, much better. I think they absolutely oversimplified it. But that's not something you can really do anything about. And then you would use the uncommon gems you got, you would use those to craft rings, and then you can disenchant those rings for enchanting materials. I personally didn't go any further than that, I think. I don't think I actually crafted enchants back then, but I did use some of the infinite dust for like the enchanted frostweave bags, I think. But like that entire shuffle just like flowed really well, and it was, there were a lot of things you could do to combine professions. A lot of recipes that helped each other out, and it was just fun to like start building an empire with more than one character and more than one profession, and that was the first time I did that, and I had a lot of fun with that. Now the next one is probably my favorite market ever, and this was an incredibly interesting niche market during Mists of Pandaria. There was a market for level 77 to level 79 required level Cataclysm greens. So these would drop from the Cataclysm zones, but you could equip them at level 77 when you were still leveling through Northrend, and they would be a massive item level increase and thus a massive DPS increase. And this was before full heirlooms were like the norm for leveling, and before the stat squish, so the item level boost was significant. And then there was also a market for a similar set of items between required level 83 and 84, that would drop from Mists of Pandaria zones, but you could then equip them when you were leveling through the Cataclysm zones. So this market was just super fun. You would just scan for these random greens that people who got them absolutely didn't know that they were valuable. So you could usually pick them up for less than 60 gold each. And then you would typically resell them for somewhere between 200 to 500 gold, depending on your realm. So that was really fun. I had a lot of items. Like, I was actually the top seller of these items on Sylvanas back then. I actually had so many items, and I played quite a bit then. So I controlled the market, essentially, completely. And it was to such a level that if I changed my normal price in TSM, within 3 days, then that would be the new price for those items on my realm. Because I was... That was the degree to which I had so many of these items. It was absolutely amazing. And that's... I've never been that much in control of a market before or after that. So maybe that was why I enjoyed it so much. But it's also fun because this was one of the methods that I learned from one of the gold bloggers back then, like Power Word Gold. If any of you remember him, I think his name is Jim something. He wrote a lot about this market, and he was the one I learned the entire method from. And this was when I started getting real serious about gold making and reading all of the bloggers that were blogging during Pandaria. And it was just so fun. It's like you're targeting some people who want to improve the power of their character to speed up their leveling. And obviously at that point, 300 gold for a leveling green was still pretty cheap. So a lot of players would be willing to do that, and it was just, it worked so well. Now, Mists of Pandaria had more good markets, because the Mists of Pandaria professions were really, really good. The jewel crafting shuffle was really cool as well. I enjoyed it for the same reason that I enjoyed the Wrath of the Lich King one. But probably my favorite market that was unique to Mists of Pandaria crafting was all of the crafted PvP items. Back then, there were so many different items due to the fact that your main stat wouldn't swap between specs and stuff like that, so you actually needed a separate set for each potential spec. Like, you needed intellect plate gear would be crafted, and that would be separate from strength plate gear. And there were a lot of different stat combinations, and you would craft a specific stat combination rather than just crafting the base item and getting a random enchanted version, which is what you do now. So there were a lot of PvP items, like so many, and you could craft all of them, and all of them would sell, and it would just be an amazing crafted armor market, probably one of the best the game has seen. So that was cool. Now the next market we're going to talk about is probably the most profitable one that I've ever been in, and definitely the most profitable on this list. I am, of course, talking about the item level, or the required level 101 BOE bind on equip epics from Legion. This market was just insane. So these BOEs, you could equip them at level 101 when you'd just gotten your artifact weapon, and then by stacking Leech, you could get a character that was so wildly overpowered that you could solo dungeons, so you could boost people for gold. To get experience, you could farm super effectively in a lot of world farms, and it was just so... So a lot of people wanted to do it. You could do world PvP, like you could go with your 101 twink and you could actually kill level 110 characters due to how secondary stats scaled. It was just great. So all of the items dropped from the world, and they were, like, the higher item level versions were selling at absolutely crazy amounts, because Legion had an insane amount of inflation as well, like pure runaway inflation. So there was an extreme amount of gold, and people were obviously super willing to pay, because twinking was really fun, and you could make a lot of gold with that, so that was insane. You could sell multiple 200k plus items in a day if you had them. Probably the richest definitely some of the biggest mailboxes I've ever had that weren't like TCG pets were from this market. And then a second market from Legion, which I really enjoyed, was the Enchanting Obliterum Shuffle. When I this was my favorite crafting market in Legion. I made so much gold turning enchants into Obliterum with the Obliterum Forge. This is essentially very similar to the Scrapper, but you didn't have to scrap that many, because one enchant would on average turn into about 1.3 Obliterum, so you could very quickly get a lot of Obliterum, and Obliterum sold obscenely fast. So that was just amazing. You used Obliterum to upgrade your crafted armor from the base item level and higher. You could get 5 item level per Obliterum. So people needed a lot of Obliterum. You needed 8 Obliterum per piece of gear to get it to the maximum item level. So if you wanted to do that for all 8 slots, that would be like 64 Obliterum needed. And you could sell Obliterum for 2,000 gold each at some... during some periods. And that was like a 50 to 100% profit margin, which is just... it was really good. Now, the last one I'm going to talk about is probably one of the most ridiculous ones the game has ever seen. And it's the Cataclysm Jewel Crafting Shuffle. And the reason why this was so ridiculous is because in Cataclysm you could buy... I think it was Eternium Ore. It may have been Obsidium, because I don't remember exactly, but that's beside the point. You would buy that ore, you would just then prospect it, and then you could go vendor the uncommon gems you got, and that would be worth more than what you paid for the ore. And then you would sell the rare gems as cut gems, and you would make back like 3 to 4 times what you paid, which was absolutely insane. Of course, Blizzard eventually did nerf that after the rampant inflation it caused. Like, you could make so much gold from just vendoring the green, the uncommon gems. Like, it was... obviously, it was fun, because that set a really, really high price floor for you would buy literally infinite amounts if you could get them below a certain price point, which was actually really high relative to how quickly people farmed that ore. So that was, of course, completely unbalanced, but very fun. Now that was that was it. That was actually quite a lot of markets I touched on. Did you recognize any of them, or were there any of your favorites that I didn't touch on? Or maybe you were just someone who bought from me in some of these markets because you were playing the game. I hope you enjoyed listening to this. Obviously, some of these markets are stuff that's been part of the game for a very long time, such as Enchanting Shuffles, which are almost a constant part of World of Warcraft. And some of them have been more niche, like the Cataclysm Greens. But there have been a lot of gold-making methods throughout the years that have worked really well. Obviously, I prefer the less time-intensive ones, which you may have noticed. But overall, there have been so many cool things. So, if there are any of your favorite markets that I didn't touch, please let me know. You can do so at Twitter, at Lazy Goldmaker, or on the blog in the comments where this episode is also posted. So please do that. Definitely always looking for good stories about the good old days of gold making. Now that is going to be it for me today. If you enjoyed the show and want more content, you can go to thelazygoldmaker.com to read all about gold making. If you enjoy the show and you want to support it, then you can do so through patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. That's it. Have a profitable week, guys. Goodbye.